I wasn't really scared. I mean, she never would have driven that hat pin right through my head, but it was getting late, see? And I wanted to make a crap game before the joints closed up in Tijuana. So I kept both hands on the wheel. Well, here we are.
What kind of a town is this?
It's a town that pays off if you know where to put the money. You'll find a small hotel on the end of the street. Maybe you can get a room there for half a buck Americano.
Where are you going?
Into this gambling trap. I'm going to build 40 bucks up to 4,000. Well, so long, kid. Keep your curlers on.
Good luck, baby.
You know, I forgot to tell you. I'm not only the toughest guy in pants, but I'm also the luckiest. When I handle a dice, I can make him practically sit up and take a bow. Ricky Morgan never loses. Well, almost never.
Snake Eyes, collect your bet.
I don't know what's wrong with me tonight. That's five craps in a row.
You want to pass the dice, senor?
Pass the dice. Move over and fade me five.
One and a two. Collect your bet.
What's the matter with these cubes? Ain't they got any sense?
Place your bet, senor.
Okay, my last five. Give me the dice.
Maybe you better let me try, baby.
Where did you come from, Cleo?
Give me the dice.
My last $5.
Hand them over.
Seven, senorita. Roll again.
Let it lay.
Seven. Roll again.
Let it lay.
Seven. Roll again.
Let it lay.
11. Roll again.
Hey, you won my 40 back.
Let it lay.
5 minutes later, she'd rolled my fin up to 1,280 bucks. Nine passes in a row, so help me. And then it happened.
Fade me for the work. I'm leaving it on the table.
Just one moment, senorita.
Something bothering you?
May I see those dice?
What for? They're yours.
Let me see them, please.
Nothing doing.
Give me the cues, honey. You want to see them, Banjo Eyes?
Yes.
Here. In the car, Cleo. It's parked outside. Me a couple of minutes to bash my way to the door. When I got there, I thought we were through. But all of a sudden, the mob fell back. They gave us plenty of room. Cleo had taken that hat pin out of her head of hair, and she was holding it like a knife. One guy was on the floor with a hole in his neck, and another guy was grabbing his middle. She'd stuck him like you'd jab a fork into a side of ham, and she was enjoying it just as much. Then 2 minutes later, we were on our way, and I was juicing my jalopy up to 70. We'll have to go south for a couple of miles and take a chance of crossing the border further east.
I can get us across. I know a spot.
Holy smoke.
Now what's the matter?
The dough, the cash we won. I left it on the table.
I didn't. I got it here.
Cleo, I gotta hand it to you. You're smart.
Sorry, I lost my dice. Best pair I ever had. Loaded them myself.
How much dough we got? 1,280?
Yeah.
Okay. It's 50-50. Split it up, honey.
Fair enough.
You know, you and I ought to make a good team. I like the way you operate.
I usually work alone.
Look, sister, you got the brains and I got the muscle. Why not make it a combination?
Because I don't trust anyone outside of myself.
Ah, look, if you're thinking about that pass I made, forget it. This is strictly a business proposition.
I'm not worrying about passes.
Why not make it a partnership?
Maybe you haven't got nerve enough to work with me, Ricky.
What? Are you kidding? I'm the toughest guy you ever met, sweetheart. Don't forget it.
We make a deal. There's one thing I want you to know.
Let's hear it.
I don't stand for a cross.
What kind of a heel do you think I am?
I was crossed once by another guy. Got away with it. Not gonna happen again.
What do I want to cross you for? All I want to do is make a deal to our mutual advantage.
All right, Ricky. You got a partner.
Jack. Now where do we go from here?
New Orleans is as good a place as any. Let's make that our next stop, baby.
By the time we got to the Delta, Cleo and me were on better terms. If I say so myself, I ain't hard to look at. Next time I tried putting my arm around her, I used a little more finesse. But the first time I kissed her, I got myself another surprise. You'd think a little baby-faced doll like that would taste like melted butter. But I felt like I was putting my lips against a hunk of dry ice. Well, here we are, honey. Little old New Orleans. Way down yonder in New Orleans, in
land of dreamy scenes. Who is this guy, Sinatra?
I'm leaving you here, Ricky.
Huh?
I mean, for the day.
Oh. Where you going?
Shopping.
Shopping for what?
A sucker. The bar on Charles Street near Canal. Meet me there at 7.
Then what?
Then I'll tell you our plans for the evening, baby.
For a minute, I thought she was giving me the air, but then I knew better. She was nuts about me, wasn't she? And besides, we were doing business together. I moseyed through the old city for most of the afternoon and wound up stuffing myself with shrimp and beer near the levees. Then I hiked back to the bar on Charles and waited for my hatpin honey. Give me a ride, beer chaser.
Coming right up.
Hello, Ricky.
Hello, Cleo. You're a little late.
My shopping took some time.
Did you find a bargain?
I got a date with him tonight at 8 in his home.
Then what?
He's a big shot, some kind of a politician. His wife's up north on vacation. He's a cinch for a shakedown, if we work it right.
The badger game, huh?
You catch on fast.
How do you know we'll get away with it?
He'll come across. I'll leave the front door open so you can get in. Don't give him a chance to talk back. Throw the book at him. The old fathead's a pushover. He followed me for half an hour before I let him tumble. He just can't wait to say hello.
How much is he good for?
It all depends. Maybe a couple of grand if he's got it in the house.
And if he won't shell out?
Well, then we all just gotta beat it out of him, baby.
If you give a watchmaker a good movement and a sturdy case, you'll produce something handsome for your wrist. If you give a cook a good recipe and the proper ingredients, he will reward you with something tasty for your palate. And if you give a man a predatory woman and a taste for violence, he is in line for a one-way passage to the grave.
The house was all alone on the outskirts of the city. I guess that's why the old boy took a chance on asking Cleo up, and Cleo was right. Judging by the layout, the guy had plenty. The door was open when I walked in, and the house was quiet. There was a light on in the back room that turned out to be the library. And as I walked down the hall, I could hear Cleo giving him a line.
You must think I'm just awful, Mr. Dingle, coming up here alone like this.
Oh, nonsense, Cleo, nonsense. Just treat me like you treat one of your own family and call me Uncle Ned.
You must be an awfully important man in New Orleans, Uncle Ned.
Well, I'll get by. And I could do a lot for a good-looking gal like you, honey.
Why, Uncle Ned?
Oh, no. Don't be afraid of me. I'm harmless. Listen, I wouldn't hurt a single hair of your lovely head.
You're so big and strong, and I'm so weak. I do wish I'd met you years ago, when you were free.
Now, you just forget about my wife, honey. I told you, she just don't understand me.
Oh.
Here now, sit closer, Cleo. No reason why we can't get to be a little more friendly, is it? You're such an innocent child, honey. You need someone to look after you.
Oh, I feel so safe with you, Uncle Ned.
Well, of course.
You're the distinguished type, like the men in those ads.
And you're the clinging type, honey. You just go right ahead and cling to me.
Oh.
Now, this is where you're hanging out.
Oh, Ricky.
Well, who's that?
It's my husband, Mr. Dingle.
Your husband?
You pot-bellied wolf. You'll come between my wife and me, will you?
Oh, don't hurt him, Ricky.
Hurt him? I got to have a mind to kill him.
Now, wait a minute, old boy. Now, let you and I talk this thing over. I had no idea the girl was married.
No?
No, and it's all been perfectly innocent, too. Hasn't it, Cleo? Well, hasn't it?
And I thought you loved me, Uncle Ned.
Loved you?
Uncle Ned, huh? Okay, Uncle Ned. Instead of bashing your ears, then I'm going to take you and this tramp to court.
Now, you can't do that.
No?
No, you'll ruin me. I got a reputation to uphold. I got a family.
This is a fine time to think of.
Now, look, we can work this out some way.
Yeah, how?
Well, perhaps a consideration.
You think you can steal my wife and then pay me off like you bought yourself a car?
No, please. Be reasonable.
How much have you got to offer?
Well, so that's it. You're in on this from the beginning.
Stop wasting our time. How much?
Well, I got $200 in my wallet. Now, take it and leave.
$200? Where do you think you are? In a bargain basement?
What have you got in that wall safe over there?
Oh, just some personal things.
Open it up.
Well, okay. What is this? A robbery?
It ain't robbery, mister. If you think it is, why don't you call a cop?
Let's get that safe open.
Oh, there. There's nothing in here, as you can see.
What's in that tin box?
Why, nothing.
Take it out.
Give it to me.
Well, here. Here you are.
He's right, Cleo. There's nothing in here. Nothing but a couple of thousand bucks.
Give me back that box.
Okay, he's cold. Come on, Cleo, let's get him out of here.
Wait a minute. He wakes up, he can identify us. Let's make sure he won't.
What are you doing?
No! Cleo!
I couldn't stop. I swear I couldn't. Before I could move, she'd taken that hat pin out of her hair and stuck it in his chest like he was a cushion. What did you kill him for? That was a crazy thing to do.
Watch the traffic. We don't want to get picked up now.
There'll be an alarm out when they find him. They'll catch up with us, sure.
No, they won't. Not if we use our heads. They'll think we try to get out of town in a hurry and they'll cover the roads. But we'll fool them. We'll stay right here until the heat's off. Then we'll lamb.
We better separate.
What for?
Who knows who saw him with you and who saw us together? We got a better chance if we split apart.
Maybe you're right. When and where we meet?
Make it a week from now, in that same bar near Canal.
All right. Let me off at the corner.
Find yourself a hideout and stay there. And for the love of Mike, keep your mouth shut.
That goes for both of us, baby.
I got myself a 2x4 near the levee and started to sweat it out. The heat was on, but plenty. They already had a lead. Like a dope, Cleo left her gloves in the old guy's apartment. And it was just enough to give the cops a start. The guy was important, too. Even more important than we thought. In 2 days, they had every dick from New Orleans to Charleston on the lookout. I was living like an animal, jumping every time somebody opened the downstairs door. And I didn't want to take no rap for murder. I didn't want to go to the chair for a punchy Jane. And one morning, I saw the notice in the paper. The wife was offering $10,000 reward, it said, with no questions asked.
Come in, Morgan.
Thanks, Lieutenant.
The sergeant told me you had information about the Dingle case.
Maybe I have. It all depends.
On what?
On what kind of a break I get.
Well, there's $10,000 in it if it leads to the arrest of the killer.
What else is in it?
I don't follow you.
I don't want to get mixed up in no murder case, Lieutenant. To tell you the truth, I got a little record.
Really? Where?
L.A., New York, Chicago. But I've been going straight since then. And I don't want no part of this if it means setting myself up for a rap.
You'll be protected.
How?
As soon as we pick up the suspect, you can collect your $10,000 and leave.
There's something else, too.
What's that?
I know the dame that pulled the job, only I didn't see her on the night she knocked him off. Maybe she'll try to drag me into it to get square.
That's happened before. We can deal with it.
And then, if I tip you off, I get the dough and I'm free?
That's a deal.
I'll tell you where to find her. You can pick her up this time, tomorrow night. Okay, so I squealed. So what? The dame wasn't human, was she? She was worse than a rattler on the loose. Besides, I had no choice. If they ever got her, they'd get me. I'd have been held as an accessory to the crime. But this way, I used what they call psychology. And it paid off with 10 G's. Okay, you got her now. Give me the dough and let me leave.
Now, just a minute, Ricky. Huh? There's just one thing more you've got to do.
What's that?
Identify her.
You mean, I gotta see her again?
That's right.
I don't want it.
It's not a question of whether you want to or not.
What is this, a cross?
I said you'd get your money and you'd go free. I'll keep my word. We need an identification. Afraid of her, Ricky?
Afraid? Me? You think 100 pounds of bone and hair can scare me?
All right, Sergeant, bring her in.
Okay.
Hello, baby.
Is that the girl?
Yeah, that's her. She's the one who knocked off Dingle.
That's all we wanted to know.
Thanks. Thanks a lot. Maybe one of these days, I'll return the favor. Baby.
Well, I blew town in a hurry and went up north to Shy. I read in the papers how they tried her and found her guilty. She was going to get the chair. Meanwhile, I'd found myself a new mama, and I was putting on the dog. How about another bottle of champagne, Dolly?
Love me, Ricky?
I'm nuts about you.
That goes double, baby.
What?
I said that goes double,
don't
baby.
Don't call me baby, understand?
What's the matter, honey?
Just don't use that word.
I'm sorry, Ricky. You know Mama wouldn't hurt a sweetie pie. Mama loves her sugar.
And Mama loves her sugar, too.
Oh, Ricky, I'm wild about you.
You just keep saying that, Dolly. It's what I like to hear.
What do you know? How'd she ever do it?
Who?
That thing. It says here in the paper she got away from the New Orleans police.
What? Give me that paper.
And here it says they think she's headed for Shy.
Was there, all right. She made a break while they were taking her to the death house. She yanked that hat pin out of her hair and let the matron have it. She was coming to Chicago. She was coming back. For me. That was 3 weeks ago. Since then, I've been running like a rabbit, trying to get out of her way. I spotted her twice. Once in Philly and once in New York. I don't know how she keeps up with me. Maybe there are guys who know me who don't mind if they rat on a squealer.
Listen, Ricky, I'm getting tired of this.
Shut up, Dolly.
Ever since we got married, we've been running from place to place like criminals. I'm sick of it. And this is the last straw.
Shut up, I said.
Why didn't you give me a chance to pack my clothes? She yanked me out of the apartment like the place was on fire.
I saw her again. She spotted me in a pool room, and I just had time to get out the back door. People must be ratting on me. They must be tipping her off. Well, this time we're going over the Canadian border, Dolly. They don't know me up there. I'll be safe.
Ricky.
What's the matter now?
I think we're being followed.
What?
There's another car behind us. It's been there since we left the outskirts of the city.
It's her. It's Cleo.
Ricky, be careful.
Get away from her this time.
Ricky, there's a tank.
Let go of my arm. I didn't wait to see what happened to Dolly. I crawled out of the wreck and limped into the woods. I ran until I thought my lungs were busting. Then I started to get weak. I had a cut in my leg and both my wrists were swelled up like balloons. They must have been busted because I couldn't use my arms. And I was scared. Scared stiff for the first time in my life. Scared of a dame, ain't that a laugh? Ricky Morgan running away from a frail. For all I know, she's right behind me. And I ain't got no chance of getting away. So I'm doing the one thing I can think of, to get out of her reach. I crawled into a town 5 minutes ago, one of those small burgs with a jail as big as a closet. But it's still a jail. And right now, it's the only place in the world I could be safe.
Sheriff Hawley speaking. I want to put a car through to Chicago. Police headquarters. That's right, very important. Make it. Wait a minute, operator. Well, what do you want?
Look, I ain't got straight enough to explain. Give me a break and put me in the clink for the night.
What?
Don't argue with me. Put me away.
Go on, bum. Beat it. I got bigger things to do.
Look, I'm wanted in Shy for larceny. 1943. The Dawson holdup. Now will you put me away?
Operator, ring me as soon as that call goes through. All right, mister. This way.
Thanks.
We've only got one cell, but you shouldn't be too particular. Anyway, I'll have your cell made out of there and on the way to Shy inside of an hour. Then we'll look into your case, screwball. Now, inside. And behave yourself. The two of you.
Sheriff! 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 Cleo. He must have picked her up before I came in. Cleo. Standing there looking at me with them poker eyes. I'm too weak to move. My arms are busted. And the hole in my leg feels like a tunnel. She's moving over to me now, and her hand's going up to her hair.
I know what she's got there. And I also know she's going to use it. But before she does, she's going to look at me and say,
"Hello, baby."
Cervantes has said, "There is no remembrance which time does not obliterate, nor pain which death does not put an end to." And perhaps we can add, "There is no crime which does not carry its own particular retribution." Be heard again next week, same time, same ABC stations. This program was written by Lawrence Klee, directed by Clark Andrews. Music is under the direction of Glenn Osser. Heard on tonight's program were Joe DeSantis as Ricky, Jean Ellen as Cleo. Listen again next week, same time, for The Clock. Now here is a special program note. Mrs. Crosby's son, Bing, begins his brand new fall series of delightful broadcasts over this ABC station next Wednesday night.
You think. This is Arch Obler bringing you another in our series of stories of the unusual. And once again, we caution you. These lights-out stories are definitely not for the timid soul. So we tell you calmly and very sincerely, if you frighten easily, turn off your radio now.
Miss Goddard, answer the phone, please.
Yes, Mr. Obler. Yes? Oh, yes, Miss Harrison. Here he is. Mr. Obler?
Yes?
Miss Harrison.
Oh, well, thank you. Hello, Joan. How's the phantom lady? Yeah, am I in trouble? Well, the last light's out. I just don't know what to write about. Oh, no, I got plenty of ideas, but... well, men dying in foxholes, and what am I doing? Thinking of fantastic... Well, thanks very much, but I still insist that I ought to be... Yeah, okay. Sure, I'll make this last one a good one, and then that'll be that. If I live through it. Huh? No, I was just talking to myself. I've been doing that rather consistently these last few days. Yes, I guess all those zombies and ghouls and loop-garous have finally caught up with me. Yeah, I know. Two aspirins and a glass of water every half hour. Now, look here, Miss Harrison, don't worry about me. I'll get the story written tonight if I have to talk to the devil himself to do it. All right, John. Yeah, sure. Oh, fine. Call me back in an hour and I'll have some kind of a plot figured out. I hope. Give my regards to Norman. Talk to you later. Well, Miss Goddard, let's get to work.
Yes, sir.
What time is it anyway?
11:32.
Sorry I have to keep you working so late.
That's perfectly all right. I know you have to have that play done by tomorrow morning. I'm glad to help.
You're an angel. Angel. That's a strange word to use here in this room where I've thought up so many demons and monsters. Tell me, or maybe you won't want to tell me.
What, Miss Elva?
Working with me on these lights-out plays, do you ever get frightened?
Well...
You do, don't you?
Yes, I do get frightened many times.
There was a time I'd have found that very amusing, but not tonight.
Is there something wrong, Miss Elva?
I don't know. Tell me... Did you ever sit alone in a room at night and have a premonition? I mean, suddenly get the feeling that somewhere in the house, perhaps in the darkness in the next room, something was waiting, something of malignancy and evil? Ugh, what's the matter with me? If I keep on talking like this, they'll be using me as exhibit X in a psychopathic ward. Come on, let's get to work.
Yes, sir.
Let me see. We'll start out next week's play with the regular lights out opening. Lights out, everybody. Chimes, later than you think, gone. first character is named Hellman. Call him Hellman. Jack Hellman. H-E-L-M-N. Two L's. Got that?
Mm-hmm.
He commits a murder and he, Oh, what's the use? I can't write another one of these things. Ghosts and groans and blood. I tell you, I can't do it. I can't do it.
Mr. Oberle.
I'm sorry. Look here, Miss Goddard. You better run along.
But aren't we going
to... No, I just can't write anymore tonight.
But the cast, they'll be standing by. The rehearsal.
Devil with the rehearsal. I'm not going to go insane writing these things for anybody. Now, run along, please. Try to get some rest, and if you come back early in the morning, we'll see what we can do.
Just as you say. Are you sure you're all right?
Please go.
All right. Good night.
Good night. What's come over me anyway? Why did I tell her to go? I gotta write this play. Premonition. She must have thought I was getting soft. And... Who's there? Oh. Well, I am in bad shape. The wind rattles the window and I... Lights out, author goes nuts. There's a headline for Variety. I gotta get down to earth. 11:45. Joan said she'd call back in an hour. I've got to have some kind of a plot by then. Let me see. How about a press agent named Black killing a man named White and Black and White murder? Ooh, that corny. Maybe I could use a story about a Hollywood producer. Let's see, Johnny Auer. He meets a girl and then's afraid because the girl's husband... Oh, is that out of character? How about Nero chopping off heads in the Roman circus and... Certainly is quiet in here. Yell all day for quiet, and now that I've got it, I have got the jitters. What the devil have I got to be jittery about? Things are what they are, if anybody knows that I do. 2 and 10 makes 4, unless you're talking about curved space, and them that has hold on to what they've got, and anybody who's in this war for profit ought to have his bones broken off. What the devil am I talking about? Okay. I'd better stop kidding myself. I know what's wrong. I want to write it, and yet I don't. What's the matter with me? Afraid to put it down on paper? What have I got to be afraid of? Here it goes. Get it over with. And outline of title undecided. Get out of my system. Play opens in the cell of a monastery in the Middle Ages. A mystic is cowered in a corner of his room. Outside, a mob is clamoring for his life. It appears that a horrible crime has been committed in the village below. A horrible monster had torn a woman. It appears that this creature, brought into being through the incantations of the sorcerer, was the concentration of all the evil in men's hearts and minds. A tremendous force of fiendishness and inhumanity put into living flesh to roam the world and commit unspeakable... Of all the drivel. A tremendous force of fiendishness and inhumanity put into living flesh to roam the world and commit unspeakable... Well, drivel enough. There it is on paper. Me own monster conceived in me own mind. Congratulations, Papa. Have a cigar. Conceived in my own mind. That's what that crazy monk said in that book Nat Wolf gave me. I wonder who gave Nat that book. Conceived in... Where's that book anyway? It ought to be... I even marked the page. And I say unto thee that if thou shalt be evil and do evil and think evil, and let thy mind rest upon this evilness in the light of day and in the darkness of night for 7 days and 7 nights, there may come into being a thing of evil, and it shall take the form of the evilness of thy thought. Written by half-starved mystic more than 10 centuries ago, and I... Funny I should have thought of those words tonight. I've been thinking about them for a week. Shall take the evil, the form of the evilness of thy thought. 7 days and 7... Who's there?
No! You in my mind. You're just in my mind. No,
You don't exist, I tell you. I thought you up. You're a dream. That's it, a dream. When I wake up, the door. It is a dream. It's got to be a dream. Come in. Come in. Get me out of this dream. Get me out of this dream.
Hi, Art. Well, don't you ever open doors anymore? And what's the big idea sitting in here
it's
all
night? It's not a dream. It's still...
Hey, Art, what's cooking?
Eli, get out.
Oh, now, Art.
Don't stand there looking at me. Get out. Can't you see it? Can't you see it? Get out. Get out of here.
Hey, what's the gag? See in here what?
Behind you. Look behind you.
Well, there's nothing behind me but the wall.
Eli.
Say, what is this anyway? A preview of...
Eli, get out of here.
All right, now let's have it. What is this, a preview of a new play? Boy, am I glad you're quitting lights out after all.
Can't you hear him?
Oh, hear who?
Eli, behind you.
Behind me what? What's the matter with you anyway, Arch? Don't you feel well? You keep staring back at me.
It must be a dream. It must be a dream.
What's that dream?
It must be a dream.
Are you tired? What's the matter? The pink elephant's beginning to get... No! No! No!
My brother! No, my brother! Let go of me! You think to my brother! No! No! No!
Eli?
Oh, no. Eli. Operator, please. Send police right away, my brother. Please, send police. My brother.
How much time we got to go on this shift yet, you? Oh, hold it. Here comes Frank Sinatra again.
Squad 39 and 48. Go to Ventura and Radwood. Drunk making a disturbance. Claims his brother ate by a monster. Squad 39
well,
and 48.
You.
Go to Ventura and Radwood. Drunk claims brother is off by a thing. LPD signing out.
But I tell you, it's true, officer, it's true. My brother, my own brother, I saw it. I saw it with my own
eyes. All right.
So you
thought. Now take it easy, young fellow. You're in a bad shape.
I tell you, I'm not drunk. I'm as sober as you are.
Now, don't get funny.
That thick-headed fool, look, it's there behind you.
What?
The thing, the monster. Look at it. Please, my brother, my brother.
I've heard of him seeing snakes and pink elephants, but this is the first one I've seen this bad off. Hey, Joe?
But you don't look tight.
Oh, you never can tell in the valley.
There, this is the two of you. Can't you see him? Can't you see him? Lovin' there in the corner.
Hey, maybe we better take him down to the station, let him cool off in the can for a while, eh?
Yeah.
Stop staring at me, the two of you. Why won't you believe me? Why won't you believe me?
Hey, Clarence, maybe this guy's on the level.
Oh, are you nuts, too? If something happened to his brother, there'd be someone around, wouldn't there? And there ain't nothing in this room.
What have I done? What have I done?
You've done? What do you mean?
I thought of the monster. 7 days and 7 nights.
I see, Joe, the guy's nuts.
Let's find out who he is. What's your name, young fella?
What's your name? Quiet down now. What's your name?
Oh, what difference does that make? The thing that sits there and grins at me. Why don't you see it? Help me. Why don't you?
Oh, come on. Come on now. What's your name? Let's have it.
Opaler. Oh, Eva.
What's your business? What do you do for a living?
Eva.
Well?
Radio. I write radio. What's the difference?
Radio? Opaler. Say, ain't you the guy that writes them screwy lights-out things Tuesday night?
Yes, help me. Please help me.
That's all. What? Why, this is the guy that writes them ghost things I was telling you about. You know, over the radio. Obler. The guy who always makes his cops Irish. You get it? It's one of them gags. One of them publicity gags.
Gags? Oh, you infernal...
Now, wait a minute, fellow. Watch your tongue.
I tell you, it's not a gag. It's here in the room. It took my brother and... There. Can't you hear it? Can't you hear it?
Huh?
It's laughing. An infernal laugh. Listen to it. Listen to it.
It is later than you Okay, young fella. If it ain't a gag, you better take a bromo and go back to bed. Now, listen, you. We're going to hang around for a while, so take it easy. Come on, Joe. Let's get out of here.
No, wait.
Who is
it? Wait. Don't let me down. It's here, I tell you. It's here. Don't let me. What'll I do? I got to get out of here. Yeah. Listen, I've got to get out here and find someone who'll believe. What? Oh, it won't let me out? No. Don't come near me. Don't come. The police, they come back. Come in.
I was just driving by and I thought...
No, no, Mercedes, get out of here, get out.
What?
No, no.
Arch, what's the matter? What are you staring at?
Mercedes, believe me, you gotta get out, you gotta get out.
No!
Mercedes!
No!
Help!
No!
Help!
Oh, no!
Help!
No! 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 No!
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Going on here? Didn't we tell you to go to bed? Is that the way to act? We heard you screaming all the way down in the... Oh, no.
Where did she come from?
She hurt corn.
Give me that gun.
Huh?
That thing in the corner there, won't you look at it? Won't you believe me? Give me that gun.
Get away from me.
The gun, I'll shoot it. I'll shoot it.
No, no, stand where you are. Stand where you are. Let you have a slug.
Huh?
You got it coming to you, that girl. They'll burn you for it as sure as my name's Clarence McMinzer. And I'd like to be the guy that pulls the switch.
Right in here, sir. You got 5 minutes.
Yes, I know, I know.
Oh, Mr. Kenny, I've been waiting for you.
I got here as soon as I could. Looks bad, Obler. Very bad.
What do you mean? I didn't do anything. I tell you, I didn't.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I know, I know. But, Obler, you can't do a thing like that and just walk away from it.
Well, I've explained it to you. I've explained it to everyone 100 times, 1,000 times. Won't anyone believe me?
Now, look here, Arch. I'm your attorney. I want to help you. A great number of people want to help you, and we certainly can't do a thing unless you cooperate. Yes, that's what I said. Cooperate.
What do you want me to do?
Tell the truth. The whole truth.
But I told you. I told you.
Yes, yes, I know what you told me. A horrible thing that you conceived in your mind came to life and did a number of peculiar things. See here, surely you don't think that even the most stupid jury on earth is going to believe that nonsense?
You don't believe me.
Well, I've heard many peculiar alibis from my radio clients in time, but... Well, listen, if you want to plead temporary...
But I'm not insane. I'm not insane. I'm not insane.
Then let's hear a sane explanation of what happened that night.
I told you. I told you everything just the way it happened. My brother came home and...
Yes, yes, I know.
Well?
Your brother came into the room and was eaten up by this monster and then that girl. Oh, what's the use? Apparently you want to die.
I've tried so hard to make you understand.
I've tried to make you understand that if you don't stop this infernal nonsense and hurry up and tell me the truth of what really happened... You'll either find yourself taking a one-way walk to the electric chair or wake up in a padded cell in an asylum for the criminally insane.
What?
The fact of the matter is, they've already appointed a lunacy commission to pass on your case.
Lunacy commission?
Oh, see here, Arch.
Wait. No, wait. Let me talk.
Go right ahead. That's what I want you to do.
Maybe I am insane. I don't know. At first, I told myself it was nothing but a nightmare. That I'd wake up and find it had all been nothing but a weird dream that never really happened. But it's not a dream, and no one will believe my story, not even you.
But such an irrational story. How can you expect anyone to believe it? Now, take that part about your brother being devoured alive by this monster.
It happened. It happened just as I said it happened.
It's common knowledge that your brother is pre-induction vacationing up north with your mother.
He came back.
You and they are coming back. I sent your brother a wire to come back and bring your mother home at once. They ought to be here today.
My brother's dead.
Well, that's your preposterous story. This thing, this monster who's supposed to have committed all these crimes. Where is he? Where did he come from? Where has he gone to?
I don't know.
Did the police see him? No. Did anyone see him? No. Oh, Arch, Arch, if you're going to think up an alibi to save yourself, for heaven's sake, think up a better one than that one.
I'm not trying to think up alibis. I'm just trying to explain what happened. To you and maybe to myself. I haven't believed much during my life, except perhaps that somewhere there was a power that went beyond life and death. What happened to me isn't explainable in any terms that you and I... But, Mr. Gang, I tell you, it did happen. I thought of a monster for 7 days and 7 nights in my own mind. And like that prophet of the Middle Ages warned, the evil thing came to life, and yet only I could see it and hear it.
And do you see and hear it now?
No. That's what I can't quite understand. Perhaps the horrible thing only has life when I think about it intensely. That's it. It only has life when my thoughts give it life. Like an idea. Don't you see, Mr. Gang? Like an idea only exists when you think of it. Your thought gives it life. And that's the way it is with that terrible thing. Listen. 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 Do you hear him? There he is in the corner.
What?
I tell you, he's there. Don't you hear it? Blubbering and slobbering. I see it now. I see it. You think? I'm not afraid of you anymore, you hear me? I'm not afraid. I'll kill you. I'll kill you. I'll kill you. I'll kill you. I'll kill you.
Over.
God, help. 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 God. God.
I'll kill you. I'll kill you. He's gone insane. He's gone insane.
What I tell you all,
guys are not crazy. I've had dealings with several of them.
Gentlemen, if you please, control yourselves.
Mr. Perrin, please. Dr. Schmidt, put down that bottle.
Are we a lunatic commission or lunatics? And you too, Mr. Schmidt.
I know how strongly you gentlemen feel about this matter, but after all, we must come to a decision on his mental status. As chairman of this lunacy commission, I feel that it is incumbent upon me to, shall I say, summarize the facts as they have been placed before us. First, it is an established fact that a murder, and a very horrible murder, has been committed. The police officer has testified very conclusively that Arch Obler was there upon the scene of the crime, and that it was absolutely impossible for anyone else to have committed the murder. In other words, the man whose mental status we are to determine is a murderer. Consider further facts. Does he wear conventional shirts?
No.
Another fact. Does he participate in normal activities such as drinking, dancing, fraternal orders, and similar beneficial social activities?
No.
I pile fact upon fact. Have you gentlemen ever listened to his play?
What
are some of the distinctive features of these works? Voices. Strange voices.
Strange voices.
Whispering voices. That gentleman always whispering voices. Voices. Gentlemen, I am of the firm opinion that we are dealing with a very definite case of Dementia Praecox in its paranoidal form.
No, Arch.
My time in an insane asylum. Oh, my. I'm not a sailor.
No, of course you're not, Janet. Now, don't excite yourself anymore. Please. Let them make you go.
If there was only some way I could make them see the thing as I see it. Mother, you believe what I told you, don't you?
Yes, dear, of course I do. Eli would only get back.
Eli? But I told you, Eli would... You're like the others. You don't believe me. Now I know you don't.
Will
believe. I'll make you believe. Sing wherever you are. Listen to me. I think of you. Here, I think of you. I give you life. You hear, Mother? You hear it does exist? It does?
No, don't get so excited.
There, Mother. It's right behind you. Turn, see, believe.
Oh,
you see, Mother. You see it. I'm not insane. I'm not. No. My mother. Sing my mother. No.
Not my mother. All right. Hello. Oh, yes, John. Midnight already? Yeah, I've been sitting here very comfortably, and I finally thought up the plot line, and believe me, it's quite a brainstorm. I die. Sure, it's my final broadcast, so why not? No, I'm not gagging. Listen to me. You know, it's all about a monster that I conceived in my own itty-bitty mind, and it comes to life. Honestly, I haven't had a Coke in hours. It's going to be one of those, you know, crazy stories inside of a story. Now, listen. The way I've got it figured out is this. Now, I'm supposed to be sitting here thinking of this horrible monster, and suddenly I turn around and there is he. And my young brother comes in, and this monster eats him up alive, and then Mercy McCambridge comes in and she... Wait a minute, Joan. Hold it for a minute. I think someone came in. I imagine it's Bernie. I'll see who...
Hello. Joan, listen. That thing, it's true. This time it's really happening. No.
It
the past. Phantoms of a world gone by speak again the immortal tale. A terribly strange bed.
Jack Westcott was the best friend I ever had. He was the gayest of people. That was until we left America. I was writing a book about historic murder cases and had come to Paris to do some research work. Jack was fascinated with my work. Strangely fascinated. Almost horribly so. He enjoyed finding twisted minds and probing them. His hunger for crime was bound to end in tragedy. On the last evening of our visit in Paris, we were walking on the left bank of the Seine River when Jack noticed a crowd gathered about our old friend, the head of the Paris police force, Inspector Duval. I was in a hurry to return to the hotel to finish writing my murder manuscript. The deadline was in the morning, but Jack insisted on stopping.
Please.
What's the excitement all about, Duval?
Well, hello, Mr. Westcott. Still looking for ancient murders, Mr. Manning?
Not tonight, Duval. Ancient or otherwise.
Stick around, Mr. Manning. I'll show you a murder the likes of which you've never seen before. Okay, boys, drag it out of the river.
What is it, Inspector?
A corpse, Mr. Westcott. A corpse that's been squashed thin as a piece of paper.
Well, let's see it. Oh,
what do you mean, thin as a piece of paper?
Bring it over here, boys. Right under the gaslight.
Horrible-looking thing, isn't it?
Horrible and fascinating. Well, it looks like it got squeezed in a giant press.
We've had an epidemic of these corpses lately.
Any idea who's doing it?
Not even a vague notion, Mr. Man. Hey, you! You, the fat man!
You mean me, Inspector?
Yes, I mean you, fat man. How come you're always around when we pull a corpse out of the river?
Why? I enjoy murder.
You enjoy it? You enjoy murder?
It appeals to my sense of the artistic.
Oh, it does.
Well, there's something fascinating about these bodies. Something for a connoisseur alone to appreciate. The symmetry of the remains. The beautifully flawless flatness of the corpse. The hollow in the stomach. Lying in this puddle of gaslight, this mass of flesh and bones, makes a nice picture. I should enjoy painting this, if I could paint.
I know what you mean, fat man, but wouldn't you prefer probing the mind of a man who conceived this crime?
A man's mind is his secret self. Well, enjoy the ghastly spectacle, my friend. Enjoy it. Good evening, gentlemen.
All right, men. Take the body down to the morgue and try and find out who it is.
Come on, Burke. I'd like to follow that fat man.
In heaven's name, why? He's nothing but a psychopathic case.
I want to satisfy a hunch.
Well, if you're such a good detective, why don't you join Scotland Yard?
Well, I might, Burke. I might at that. Where the devil has that gross piece of flesh disappeared to now? He was right in front of us until we turned this corner.
Well, we've lost him, Jack. And I don't wonder. We've passed through every side street in the whole city. If you ask me, he knows he was being followed.
Good. If he knows, he'll show his hand sooner. Now, the only place he could have gone around here is into the back door of this house. I wonder what house this is.
It's a gloomy dump. Let's go back to the hotel, Jack. I've got to finish that manuscript tonight.
Looks like a public bar to me. The La Belle Tavern. Are you coming with me, Burke, or are you going home?
I'm with you, old boy. I brought you to Paris, and by heaven, I'm going to return you to America.
This must be the doorbell. Here goes. And, Burke, no matter what I do tonight, don't worry.
Come in, gentlemen. Come in.
You were perfectly right, fat man. Those two Americans did follow you. They're sitting at the bar inside.
The Americans value their lives so slightly. Amazing, isn't it, Cecilia?
Their lives. Our lives. They might be cops. I don't want to get my neck in a noose.
To be quite candid, I am not interested in your neck. You are so impatient, and impatience is an evil ascribed to the very young. It might be a pity if you are not allowed time to cure yourself of that evil.
Don't threaten me, you fat pig. You pig.
I'd hoped to slap some sense into that lovely but empty head. Obviously, my stupid pigeon, those two Americans are wealthy. They would enjoy our roulette table if you would show them to it. Remember, I'll talk to the croupier, and he will take care of the wheel of fate. If you don't do your part well, you face a lifetime in jail.
What happens if they get wise? Room 16?
But of course.
Let me go.
I knew you'd understand.
Yeah. I understand. There's something so gay about Americans, I always say. I hope you boys don't mind if I stick around.
Well, miss,
not at all, miss, not at all.
You can call me Cecilia. How about another drink?
Oh, that's fine.
Three more of the same, bartender.
What do you do for a living, Cecilia?
Oh, I model in a dress shop.
I don't believe you, Cecilia.
Jack, stop ribbing the girl. She's a good kid.
Well, I'm on the level. I'm interested in
it. Here's the drinks.
Thanks.
Why do I interest you?
Well, because you're fairly easy to figure out.
Mm-hmm. Am I? Why?
You really want me to tell you?
Sure I do. Well, here's mud in your eye.
Touché, touché.
Santé. Potent stuff, Jack. Potent stuff tastes like cyanide.
Well, Cecilia, I'd say you're a poor girl who lives in the slums. But you're pretty. Mm. Prettier than anybody in your entire neighborhood. Well, let's see. Then you must have met a man.
What of it? I'm no saint.
He promised you a lot of doodads, and suddenly you found you'd committed your first crime. Let's say, murder.
What'd she do? Set her mother on fire?
Oh, well, for that, let's have three more drinks. Bartender, three more. Well, now, let's say it really was murder. The second murder wasn't so hard, and the third was easy, wasn't it?
I never had nothing to do with a murder.
Well, for the sake of argument, let's say you have. But inside of you, all the time, is this wanting to be liked, wanting to be on the level. But your so-called friends, they don't trust you, Cecilia. Someday they'll double-cross you.
I hear the drinks.
Thank you.
Nobody will ever double-cross me. Well, here's mud in your eye. Drink up, boys.
Is there anything else to do around here?
You seen the gambling rooms?
Gambling rooms? Ah, that's me. Who runs those gambling rooms, Cecilia?
I don't know.
One of your friends? A fat man, perhaps, with a long nose?
I don't know the owner. Gosh, you're real nice.
Is the fat man in the back room now?
Probably. Gambles here a lot. Do you replay?
Sure.
Well, come on, Jack. We'll see who's right. My books or your instincts.
Number 21 wins.
Jack, the fat man's in the corner of the room.
Yeah, I saw him, Burke.
And he saw you, old boy. Don't think he didn't.
Come on, boys. Let's play.
Money, money, money. Place your bets, gentlemen.
They'll make some room for us over here. Come on.
Okay.
Hello, Cecilia.
Hello, Monty Laureate. You playing again? I thought you lost every cent you owned last night.
A desperate man finds desperate ways to raise money.
Even murder, eh? We heard about it.
Perhaps. And perhaps not.
I'd like you to meet some new friends of mine, Monty. This is Jack Westcott and Burke Manning. Monty Laureate.
How do you do?
Money, 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 gentlemen. Place your bets.
I bet 30 francs on odd.
I'll bet 100 francs on number 13.
Good boy, Jack.
The play is dead. Round and round the little ball goes. Where she stops, nobody knows.
Hey, Burke, I feel a little dizzy.
You had too much to drink, pal, and those drinks were strong.
Number 13 wins.
I won!
Good for you, American. Lucky for you. I won the first time I ever played here, but never again.
Money, 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 money.
That was the first time Jack won in that incredible evening. But as the ball spun, his winnings increased. The table seemed to have gone crazy. Jack became gambling drunk. The croupier seemed desperate as that wheel spun round and round, each time increasing Jack's winnings. The room was tense with excitement, and even the little thin loser, Laureate, seemed surprised.
Monsieur Westcott, your luck is phenomenal. You've won 30 times. 30 times.
Jack, you've won a fortune, man. Stop now before it's too late.
Leave him alone, Burke. Let him play if he wants to.
Sure, let me play if I want to. I want to break the bank.
Careful, monsieur.
Let me warn you. Careful.
Jack, it's almost midnight, and I've got a lot of work to do tonight. Please, let's go. And remember the fat man.
The fat man be hanged.
Here, Jack. Have another drink.
Thanks, is it?
Jack, be sensible.
Ah, stop being an old Auntie Burke. I'll see you later at the hotel. Make the book have a bloody ending. I'm in the mood for a good murder tonight.
Remember, Jack, I warned you. Goodbye.
Money, 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 gentlemen. Place your bets.
I told the croupier you wanted to see him back here, fat man, but it wasn't the croupier's fault the American broke the bank.
That is for me to decide. Where is the American now?
Outside, buying drinks for the house.
Good, good. That ought to keep him busy.
You called for me, monsieur?
Yes, yes, I did. I'll need you too, Cecilia. Shut the door. I don't like to frighten our patrons.
I'm sorry about the wheel, monsieur, but it was broken tonight. I couldn't control it.
That is unfortunate for you.
What are you going to do, monsieur?
Come here.
Don't put your fat hands on me, fat man. Let me...
Don't fight the fat man. You can't move, can you, croupier? Because if you move, my arm will break your neck. Call my men, Cecilia. I might need a little aid with the stupid fool.
What are you going to do, fat man?
Have his brains pressed out of his body in room 16. His mind is no good where it is now.
Oh, no, monsieur. Please, monsieur. Not room 16.
What's that? What was that, Monsieur Laurier?
We'll probably be luckier if we don't ask questions.
I want another drink.
Jack, listen to me. Put on your hat and coat and leave this place. You're being watched all the time.
Who's watching me?
Hello, Jack.
Oh, have a drink.
No, Jack. You've had enough to drink. Leave this place right away.
She's right, Jack. You must leave. I'll see you home personally. Come on, then.
No, I know you don't, Monty Laurier. I know your tricks. The last man you saw home was found with a dagger in his breast.
How come you're so interested in me, Cecilia?
Because you're the first person who ever treated me decent. Oh, please go home.
All right. Sooner or later, every woman develops some mother complex over me. Now, I don't want to be mothered.
Who is trying to mother you, my friend?
Oh, hello, fat man. Cecilia is.
Ah, she's developed a rather latent maternal instinct. I think a maternal instinct is out of place tonight. After all, tonight's a night for celebration.
Yeah, the fat man's right. Celebration. Bartender, open a bottle of champagne.
Bartender, champagne. Champagne for Monsieur Westcott. Won't you join us, Cecilia?
Yeah, of course I will.
Here is the champagne, Monsieur.
Won't you drink with us, Monsieur Laurier?
No, thank you, fat man. I don't think so. I never enjoyed toasting to death.
Death? Open the bottle, bartender.
Good night, Jack, and good luck.
Good night. Good night, good night, good night, good night, good night.
Here's the handkerchief, fat man.
Oh, Jack, your money is all tied safely in your handkerchief.
Thank you, friend. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Where'll I put the handkerchief?
It would be wisest to tie it to your belt.
I feel dizzy, fat man.
Oh, you need a cup of good hot coffee. That will straighten you right out. Cecilia, go in the kitchen and fix our friend a cup of coffee.
But I really...
Don't tell me, my little pigeon, that your hearing is failing you.
I'll get it right away.
I'm glad we're alone, fat man. I want a chance to talk to you.
Talk away, Jack.
Tell me confidentially. Why do you enjoy seeing a mutilated body dragged out of the river?
There's beauty in death.
In the act of death?